Trinity Fremont, we know that faith starts in the home. We also know that it can be difficult to take what we hear on Sunday and live it out in our homes the rest of the week. That's because information alone doesn't lead to growth and change. But information that's reflected on and put into practice is much more likely to lead to growth and change. Join us as we reflect on this past Sunday's sermon and give practical starting points to help you live it out, your faith, in your family, and in your community.
Whoop, whoop.
Well, that was different.
Like a bark.
I mean, what was that? I'm not even sure. Howdy, y'all.
What's up?
Good morning.
Hello.
Greetings.
There you go. We were waiting for that. Casey hadn't said hello yet. So.
My bad.
Season's greetings.
Season's greetings.
Maybe I should get a little bell and going, ching, 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 ching.
Oh. Has Salvation Army been out? I have not heard any bell ringing.
Not as much, you but they are
been
out.
Shopping. I have not been shopping, so that makes a big difference.
It's kind of hard,
right?
to do that with Amazon shopping, you know?
Yeah. Oh, they should bring someone around with them. Like Salvation Army should just go with Amazon.
They're not there long enough to
just knock on the door and wait.
Nope. To be honest with you, Salvation Army probably just needs to have a virtual bell ringer on every page of
probably.
The internet.
Ooh. Ooh, there you go.
There you
sure
go.
That would be just, an easy task.
If you give some money, the bell ringing will stop. Otherwise, it will continue nonstop while you're shopping on this
Either
site.
Either that or they go to Amazon and say, can you round everything up to the nearest dollar and give it to the Salvation Army? And Amazon will go, no.
No. How about just an extra penny?
Jeff Bezos needs his billions.
There you go.
That's right.
He's trying to get to trillion before everybody else.
That would be all a right. lot if you really think about it.
Yes.
I made like 17 Amazon purchases this week. So
yes. There you go.
Well, Casey's
does that. Do you guys round up your dollar?
Yep.
Yeah. Do you feel like a jerk if you don't?
I do, but I still don't. I feel like a jerk, but I usually don't round up.
No.
No.
I don't even know who this dollar is going to.
Well, that's the problem. Like, it's like, would you like to round up for... I'm like, no.
I saw one and I don't remember where it was, but it was going to Heifer International, which
I like heifers.
You know.
Do you know what Heifer International
it's
is?
Where we get the chickens.
Yeah, you can buy livestock. Well, it is. You can buy, but you can buy purchase animals that they then will give to families in other countries to give them a way to make money.
And they named it Heifer?
Yes. Because I think it started with you could buy a cow.
I think that, yeah.
And a cow that has had a baby. We've done it as a heifer. Gifts for people.
No, it's like, ready for.
Last year we gifted Mrs. Dunklow bees because then they pollinate the other crops, but then they produce the honey and they can sell the honey because she loves bees.
She does.
Don't send that to me. I really would not appreciate that.
Well, you don't actually get the bees. It's given in your name to a family somewhere else. So.
Do you guys have an annual thing that you give to every year?
That we give to?
Well, heifer has become one.
Yeah, we've done that a few times.
Yeah. I went to a Fur King Country concert and every time you go there, you get signed up for something.
Compassion International? Is that what? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We have a kid on a fridge. We're a real Christian.
And there's one that's kind of Lutheran-based called Lead a Child, and they're based out of Kansas. And rather, you don't get to do all the things that the Compassion International does, like potentially writing the child you sign up for, but it's completely free. You donate whatever you can, and it helps support their Lutheran education or their Christian education. That's the one I usually wind up giving to.
I've never heard of that one.
Yeah, I will say, I remember in high school, I think it was a youth gathering, and I got a Compassion kid and then was like, oh, but I'm
poor.
and I don't have and then I'd get the letters like, oh, this child needs your money so that they can eat. And I'm like, oh
yeah. Well, you know, it's funny because you start this and you're like, I don't think I can ever stop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are they going to turn 18 yet? Or
how long is it 18? And the kid's coming for college, and he's just like, come on, man.
I mean, it's great. Great opportunity. And it's not like it's overly expensive. It's like $1 a day or something to feed them.
It's $45 a month. But then, and for Christmas, we do like the extra, you know, send an extra $50. Last year, he bought like a bike or something. Mm. Like, oh, you bought a bike for $50? Well, I mean, where are you shopping? Because I can't get a bike for $50.
You can at Chuck Wilsey's shop.
I was going to say, you can go down to Grandpa Chuck's.
Well, all right. There you go. Hashtag not sponsored.
Not a sponsor.
He has a ton of bikes down there. Mm-hmm. So if you're in the market for a bike for Christmas, that's where you need to go.
Yeah, down on Main Street.
All right. Right next to the cigar shop. Anybody wants to buy me cigars, you go.
That we can't do from trinityfremont.com/donate, just FYI. So, you know, we're still in Advent. This is Gaudete Sunday. This was, I think that's pronounced right. It's Latin meaning
got what?
Joy. G-A-U-D-E-T-E.
It was right out there.
I know.
You threw it out there.
It's the pink candle, the rose candle, as opposed to the three.
Can you explain
blue,
the Advent
purple?
Candles for the person who probably heard the story 7,000 times, but still doesn't remember?
Yes, because my son asked me that yesterday. The day before. So I had to look it up because we don't actually really follow it. So officially, the colors are usually purple and pink. So three purple and a pink candle. We do at Trinity, we do blue.
There's one in the middle, right?
The one, yes. That's the fourth one. That's white. That one's the Christ candle. That one gets lit on Christmas. Usually Christmas Eve is when we start that celebration. But then that's lit throughout the Christmas season. There are 12 days of Christmas, by the way. But
on the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me.
Yes, woo! That starts on Christmas Day. And then there are 12 days after that lead us to Epiphany, which is a celebration of when the wise men get to see Jesus at the house. So if your wise men are at your nativity scene, move them away. They need to be moved to the east.
We always did that as a kid. I always had my wise men over here, and then we just slowly move.
Yeah, every day you move them a little bit closer.
I'm kidding. We didn't do that.
You should.
That's what we do.
We do.
Except ours
we
are
do.
To the north.
Yeah,
currently.
It doesn't work for us to the east.
They're lost.
Why are they in the middle of the living room floor? Well...
We did that one year instead of Elf on a Shelf. We have a star from afar, so you can move the wise men around, and then you can move the star around. And so,
where's this thing leading us?
Yeah, I know. So husband would get a kick out of it because he'd wake up in the morning. And he's like, "Whoa, the star's way over here, and the men are way over here." And I'm like, "Well, they still got to keep going.
Well, yeah, so, they keep following that star."
That's generally how stars work.
Yep,
I know.
So the three purple candles: hope, peace, and then love is the pink candle, or joy is the pink candle, and love is the fourth. The hope, peace, and love. Those three are purple. Yeah, Gaudete.
Got it.
That's joy. That's the pink one. Thank you.
I got it.
The Advent season is actually...
I will always remember it.
Yes. The Advent season is actually very similar to the Lenten season, where it's a penitential season.
We have lentil beans?
Paul, you are just...
He's amped up today.
He is, something's up there. So I'm just going to talk to you four and turn my back on
there
Paul.
You go.
Too bad he can still talk in my ears. You three. I'm the fourth that I'm talking to. Those three purple or blue candles represent the penitential season, the waiting piece of it. That
I have a joke, but I'm not going
to
say it.
Thank you. That joy, it's hard to be penitent and joyful. So if we were like really traditional, we would even change the color of all the pyramids to rose. We don't have that at Trinity, and that's okay.
Why not?
Because
the penitent, man.
Those
It would only be used once.
That one Sunday. Yes.
That would be the only.
Yes.
Done with it.
And they're not cheap, by the way. Those are not cheap.
I was thinking maybe, I love the color pink, the color rose. I'm like, ooh.
I got it.
Yeah.
There you go. Did that answer your question, Paul, about what those candles represent?
Yes.
Thank you.
Love, peace. No, love has got it. No, it's joy.
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 Doo-doo-doo. Hope.
Love.
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 Peace.
Joy. Peace. Hope, love, joy, peace.
Hope,
Jesus.
And love and joy and peace.
Okay.
Hope, love,
I really
joy,
hope I got those right.
Peace. I feel like there'll be a quiz
hope
later.
Was the first one.
Hope. Did I say hope? It's hope, peace, joy, love.
Well,
did I say hope, love?
Peace without
you
hope.
Said
hope,
peace, less.
Hope, peace,
but
joy, love.
Like, oh shoot! No.
Hope, peace, joy, love.
Hope,
Jesus.
Peace, joy, love.
I feel like there's a song going on.
We
should write a song.
Sorry for that.
It could be the new Christmas. It could be the Advent song because we don't really have. We just have Christmas songs. We don't have Advent songs. We just call it that.
There are Advent.
There are Advent in the hymnal.
Well, yeah, we all
Paul. So
I mean, technically, that's what "O come, O come, Emmanuel"
right.
is.
Yes, it is.
That's
I
not
like
a Christmas
song.
I played that song one Sunday.
Yeah,
it's an instant Advent song.
It is.
I like that song.
You know, that's great.
So there you go. So as we're in this Advent season, we've been our theme, our series at Trinity has been the waiting room. And this week, Pastor Hoyer talked about how a couple waits for the birth of their firstborn. We decided not to get into birth stories. Last week we talked about engagement stories. We decided for all y'all, we're not going to get into any birth stories, but instead we're going to talk a little bit about how do we as families families, maybe even thinking back to growing up, but how do we prepare for Christmas? Because part of Advent is that celebration and that preparation for the celebration of when Jesus came the first time that we celebrate on Christmas. The other part of Advent is preparing for that time when Jesus will come again. We talked a little bit about that last week. And so this week we want to talk a little bit about how do we prepare for Christmas? What do we do as a family? What are some of those traditions that we've got? But also we want to see how do those focus us on Jesus as well? So what are some of those things that kind of get you into that Christmas spirit, get you prepared for Christmas each year?
I was just thinking of when I was a kid, I used to hide Jesus out of the
My cat used to do that. She would steal Jesus.
I'm not sure if that prepares me for anything, except for the fact that we would always constantly have to look for
Jesus. Hey, that could preach. Looking for Jesus. Looking for Jesus.
Well, we didn't really. We put him in a drawer.
Okay, that's probably not going to preach.
Well, it's like, the thing is that it was like when I was younger, we put him in the drawer because he wasn't born yet, so he wasn't there. Then? But of course, everybody else was like, and
they're waiting
yeah, but they're all in the poses of look at our child, and it's like there's nothing there. Anyways, and then on Christmas Eve we would go to the midnight service, and I'd come out, and kid, I would go, I can put Jesus out, and I would go get the Jesus out of the drawer, put him out.
That's awesome.
There you go. See, that's
very applicable to waiting for
Christmas. What's funny about this whole nativity scene, and my mom doesn't listen to this, but maybe I'll send this to her because she'll find this funny. She got this white nativity scene. It's like a ceramic for I don't know, maybe a wedding gift or something. And so I had that thing my whole entire childhood. So later on, when I was in college, I think, my mom got like this Hummel set, like real nice set. And she put this thing out without telling us that she wasn't putting out the white set. And I was like, what is this? And she's like,
this
well,
isn't the real Jesus.
She's like, well, is this nativity? I'm like, no, put that crap away. And she's like, wait a minute. She goes,
how much does this cost me?
It was one of those, like, I've been collecting these things and now I can have the whole set, you know? And I was like, and so when I moved out, she's like, here, you can take this set with you. And so she can put out her own set. So yeah, that's the set I use now.
You have the white one?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Does Will hide baby Jesus now?
No.
Do you hide baby Jesus?
Yeah, to be honest with you, because I was afraid of Will, I didn't put it out the last couple of years. And it was kind of one of those, like, let's not put this out this year because Will's going to take it and throw Jesus across the room. So we didn't want to do that. Yeah. What's really nice about this whole set is that my manger was made by my grandfather. And so I actually, it's like, oh, he made this specifically for this set. And so it all fits. And the angel is hanging on a nail with a green, you know, the wire that you use for plants, like a green one. Yeah. And it's been the same wire for 40 years.
That's awesome.
But it just kind of hangs there, like. Anyways, so I don't know if that it qualifies for your story,
it qualifies for something.
Insanity. Here we go.
What else? How do you prepare yourselves or your families for Christmas?
Surprisingly, mine is related to food.
You're kidding me.
No, there's a lot of baking prior years. Let's just preface that, because now I work full time and there's not a lot of excess time, I've learned. As much as I love my job, I really do.
Yes.
But I miss the baking. There's lots of baking and candy making and cookie platter doing. And I guess I was talking to, I think, Cassidy the other day, Miss K. One thing that I would always do to prepare for Christmas was the youth cookie walk. Mm-hmm. And
I'm missing that.
I would always make melted snowman cookies. I know, it's a sugar cookie with marshmallow and it's got royal icing on it. And then you draw arms and you put little M&Ms on it. It looks like a melted snowman, like he's been out in the sun. Oh. I know it's not truly Jesus related, but that's something that I'm like, oh, you know, it doesn't seem like Christmas without making like 12 dozen.
Yeah, because that was the option of like, will you donate 12 dozen? Or 48 dozen.
Yeah. I miss that. And I don't know. I guess we always, I don't know. Tons of Amazon shopping, but then again, not Jesus related, unless it is for the adoptive families that we do, which sometimes we kind of go overboard on. The husband gets mad, but I'm like, you know what? No, I don't need anything. But if somebody is asking for blank, they really are needing it, you know? So anyways, it's not nearly as fun as Paul's. Even though my nativity scene, my baby Jesus is attached to Mary's arm. So I'm kind of like in a pickle. Mm-hmm. because Uh-oh. It's like, then do I hide Mary? And I can't like uncarve baby Jesus from Mary. So
your husband might be able to.
Well, I thought about it, but we got our nativity scene set as a wedding present. And so Jeff and I have been married, it'll be 20 years in June. And each year we've added a piece to it. We have the willow tree. So I'm kind of disappointed with Willow Tree, not a sponsor, that their baby.
Not, definitely not now.
Exactly. Yeah. That their baby Jesus is stuck in their Mary and in her arms, not in the womb. I'm just going to stop.
There you go. Okay. Well, so yeah, that's definitely for us. The last couple of years we've made caramels, and that's just
caramel.
We've made caramels.
Caramel.
That's just the smell. Like Stacy walked in the other day as I was making it.
Smells so good.
And it just smelled like, and I'm not gonna brag too much, but they rock. Last year it took me a number of tries. So it's Stacy's grandma's recipe. Last year it took me a couple tries to get, I had to get the right temperature, and now I got it down. And her cousin, we gave some to Stacy's cousin. And she said she sent Stacy a text saying that she didn't remember what her grandma's caramels tasted like. Caramel. And then she tried them. Took her back. That made me feel happy.
It's interesting though. How those taste, even those tastes like take you back to wherever you remember eating them the most. And that's how it was last year when I ate that first one. It was like back to grandma's living room, and I'd steal them out of the little jar she had on the table. And
my grandma always had that hard old-fashioned candy, mm-hmm. all the different colored. Oh yep. Yeah, that was always fun. It was always a surprise as to what one and which one you would get. But
we always did Christmas from my grandmother's house the Sunday before Christmas. So even if Christmas Eve was on Sunday before, it would always be that one. So all the family would get together on that. We just knew that was the Sunday before Christmas, regardless of where that would be the day. So always plan for that day. Don't plan something else kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And we go down to our house in West Roxbury, Massachusetts. And it was just this house that had stairways that went up one way and came down the other way. And us kids would just run around. And then I would go down to the basement, and she wasn't the most tidiest person. So I would always have an asthma attack and have an allergy attack. And then we would go home. So
Merry Christmas Merry to Christmas. All.
That was actually the one year, I used to be like you, Gerber. I used to be like the guy that would like wake up all night and be like, yeah, let's go. Can't wait. And then one year I had such a bad allergy attack that I slept till like 11.
Oh no.
On Christmas. And my dad was like, what is happening? But that was also the year I went, yeah, I guess I can sleep in Christmas Eve because I guess it still comes. Yeah. And it kind of like ruined Christmas for me after that. But I was just like, oh, but of course I was a little bit older. I was like 7.
Yeah. No, I still wake up at 4 on Christmas morning.
Yeah. That like, hasn't stopped for me.
I'm like, let's go.
I wake up at 4, but I have to go lift heavy things and pick them down now. But that's different, right?
Yeah. I was up at 3 this morning.
I was up at 2.
Oh my gosh. It's not a competition.
I can name that
too.
Said
the loser.
Slept.
Yeah.
Good job, Stacy.
This is what happens when you don't give me a script. I'm just going to start talking.
It's all right. It's good. That's the whole point of a podcast, is it not?
And, well,
competition? Yeah. Yes.
Competition. So,
life is a competition.
For us,
life is a box of chocolates.
You guys have talked.
You never know what you're going to get.
Yep. You guys have talked about nativities. For us, we get a new nativity scene each year.
Santa brings it.
Santa.
Do you bring, like, is it like cooked? Like the baked one?
What?
Well, you ever seen the people who have nativity says it like old cookies?
No.
Is that just a mess?
You should see all of our faces as we give Paul the blankest of stares right now.
Do you like bite it?
Well, that's what? Yeah, they're like cookie. They're sugar cookies, and they've been painted like the nativity scene. You ever seen the movie The Ref?
No.
Yeah, it's
all right.
Never mind.
So ours are not baked. They are created.
That's what you're talking about.
Yeah. When we talk about trying to get Jesus in our heart, that's not how it works.
Cholesterol. So we get a new nativity scene every year, and it's fun. I was though. You have to search minimalist nativities because I found that there's one really cool one that's like this stained glass that it's beautiful. But then there are some that's like I just took a 2x4 and I cut it up and I wrote manger on it. And then here's another one that's painted and it says Jesus on it. Like it is
art.
It is art. Yes. And I totally want it. Paul just found it.
Are you kidding me?
You'll have to ask Alex. Mrs. Sinovec has a super cool nativity scene. It's literally cut up 2x4 like into blocks. Uh-huh. And nice. Then someone had cut out felt pieces, glued them on there. And it was a Trinity student that had made that for her. And she's had it for a long while. I'm not going to wrap.
No, this is just, is like they just stamped the word buckets. Jesus on it.
That's all it is. There's one that has batteries.
Oh, I didn't. Nice.
Yeah.
So.
No, it's look at it. What is that? We really need to get this show live so you guys can
see. There you go.
So do you guys make your set?
No. Maybe I will at some point. I'll make a minimalist one and I'll just put batteries out.
So we have a variety. And since our kids, I mean, they're young, they're more kid-friendly ones. So we have the Fisher-Price one. That was given to us, I think, when Landon was born.
Oh, yeah, we had that.
I think everybody has that
one. The angel on top.
And it still sings. And Bennett will come and slam it.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that the best?
And then we have a Playmobil one. That one's kind of fun.
Playmobil.
And last year, I think, was it last year?
Is that the one that was all wood?
Yeah,
that,
last year it was a piece of wood, but they had cut out like levels. So it has the manger or the stable and the star. And then the next level comes out and then Joseph pops out. So it's kind of like a puzzle. And
it all fits
in, Joseph but you can pops. Separate.
Hello!
There's Joseph!
And then Jesus and then pops Jesus. Out.
And then we have one that has, I try and get interactive ones so the kids can play with it because I think that's part of the fun of the nativity is
unlike mine,
imagining it.
I hide it.
You're not supposed playing to with play it. With mine.
But then we have one that has like Velcro on the back and they can stick it on and move around.
Yeah.
There are all kinds of nativities out there when you look.
Here, I just have like this fancy adult one that I'm like, no, don't touch it.
See, I thought they were made, out of cookies.
Go play with the one made out of they batteries.
This one is electrifying. Yes, it is.
So Jesus and button battery.
What, so do you guys have any other? I have, we have this. So like setting up a Christmas tree, do you guys have like a specific ornament has to go on first?
We're laughing because our Christmas tree downstairs has one ornament on it. Why that one?
Ornament was in a box that wasn't the ornament box. So I stuck it there thinking, I'll get the ornaments out soon. And I just haven't felt like putting the ornaments up.
The kids have own Christmas tree upstairs.
Yeah, that one's decorated with all their ornaments they've made and they've received as gifts. But there's something about that empty. It has the lights on it, and I just like the look of that simple tree
with one ornament.
Because we have so many ornaments, and I love
them. Please tell me it's like Spider-Man or something.
It says joy to the world.
It says joy to the world.
Oh, see, that just makes it. You made it all like special.
It's a big
Like for first ornaments. So right now, Tara and I don't have any kids and aren't expecting.
Just to clarify,
I said that I left that open enough. I'm like, nope. Not
let's just throw that out there.
But I'm the one who decorates the tree because Tara likes balance on things. So if she decorates, she's like, I cannot decorate a tree because it will take 12 hours. So
that's kind of why I haven't done it. I'm with you, Tara.
So I do have an ornament I hang first, but it's literally me by myself going, this is symbolic to me. Yeah.
So we have a Santa Claus that my great great grandmother made, and it's Santa Claus on some sort of cardboard skis, and it looks like it's from 1800 because it's like, I don't know, but it is like the little cap fell off, so we had to kind of like put it on the tree, and just like hopefully it'll fall apart this year, and then but it is the no other ornament can go on until Daddy puts that up, and once I put that up, then it's like, okay, you guys have fun, and then Daddy's just fixing ornaments because Bill steps on them.
We had to because we haven't put up ornaments yet, but it was like nice ornaments at the top and then ornaments that the kids can get near at the bottom. This year we have a cat though.
Yes,
we've never had a cat with a Christmas tree though, so we're
has it climbed
she's
the tree
been
yet?
Okay,
she's been okay. She has tried to eat the fake needles a few times.
Kenzie,
she's been more calm around it than I thought she would.
She's good.
It's great when they try to climb the tree.
We haven't had that. When I was a kid they did climb it.
Why wouldn't you? Right? You're a cat, wouldn't you climb a tree?
Yeah, why not?
Okay. So, next subject.
There you go. So what are your Christmas, because you know, all of this is, these are the reason we're talking about these. All of these are things that are special to us that prepare us for that Christmas celebration. What is it that, you know, that Christmas Eve, Paul, you talked a little bit about, you know, the midnight service, and then you can come and bring Jesus out of your sock drawer. But
it's not a sock drawer.
Oh, okay. But what are some of those special Christmas Eve, Christmas Day? And maybe it's not, like, I know with different families, we celebrate, we put Christmas Eve in quotes because we'll do, like with my family, this Friday we'll do Christmas Eve and Saturday we'll do Christmas Day. But what are some of those special Christmas Eve traditions that then get you ready for that big celebration on Christmas Day? Or maybe your big celebration was Christmas Eve. I don't know.
Yeah, I always found that Christmas Eve to me was more special. Okay. I mean, Christmas Day was fine, but it was just like opening gifts and then kind of relaxing and eating food. Yeah. Christmas Eve is always like the, you know, we used to have parties and people used to come over, but we used to go to midnight service and then I got kids.
Yeah.
And it just kind of all just kind of.
How you'd party with your family.
Well, no, it's just that when they're young, it's just like, let's go to midnight service. No, I don't think so. Not with a 3-year-old. Not going to happen.
Last year was our first midnight service and it was fantastic. And then Hudson fell asleep.
Yeah.
So that was super cute because, you know, we always sat right up front. So it's pretty loud right up front.
But he also fell asleep during the Christmas concert.
He did during Little Drummer Boy of all the songs. And it was
not the second half though.
No, but it was so funny because I lean over and I go, because Stacy was close to me. I go, Stacy. She turns around, looks over me. I go, he's snoring.
And we were talking about after we recorded Friday, we were talking about the Christmas service last year. And Landon goes, that was a lot of fun. And it was really funny when Hudson fell asleep and was snoring. It was memorable.
Yeah. You know, I've been trying to come up with new things, you know, new traditions, because we have a family now with our own. It's just like, mm-hmm. Of course, I just feel like everything is based around music. So when the Koof comes, we don't get to do music as much. But I do. I don't know. Weird. I guess it's weird.
No.
I don't feel like I'm doing anything this year, even though I am.
Yeah.
Not preparing for this big concert. And it's like, we got to have 15 practices and do all this stuff. And it's actually, I think Lori pointed out last night, she's like, I know the videos are a pain in the butt, but you would have been doing 4 or 5 rehearsals and you would have been, you know, having to set up all this stuff. And now you're basically have everything you need. You just got to sit in your studio and do what you do. And I'm like, oh,
good point.
Guess I'm not. Because after this week, when I'm done the videos, I'm like, I guess I'm done.
Until, yeah.
You know, I don't have anything else going on.
Well, it's interesting with like finding new traditions. Growing up, we didn't have a midnight service wherever we would worship. When I was younger, it was my grandpa is now a retired pastor, but we would go to his church and it wasn't really a midnight service. And the first time I ever encountered one was actually Trinity, because my wife would do that growing up all the time in Arizona. That was when they went to Christmas Eve. And our first couple years connected with Trinity, I was at a different church. My wife taught at Trinity School, and my church didn't, the church I worked at didn't have a midnight service. So about a week before our first Christmas together in Nebraska, Tara's like, I want to go to the Trinity midnight service. And I'm looking down, I'm like, I've got 3 other services at my church. But I was not that thrilled about going, because that'd be my 4th service and I was exhausted.
Were you going to fall asleep and snore?
I wouldn't snore, but yeah. I couldn't count out sleeping.
Yeah.
And I would also be the one driving
yeah.
From Omaha. But it was amazing. Like halfway through, I'm like, this has to be a new tradition. Like yep. it was just one of those special experiences. And now that we're full-time members of Trinity, it's yes, we get to enjoy that even more.
I will say, as Paul says, the Koof has really changed everything for us this year. Christmas Eve is our big, like the 24th Christmas Eve is our big deal with the gray side of the family, and we'd always get together and we'd do a gift exchange, and that whole family is about the food. Oh my gosh, no wonder I'm chubby. Like this all makes sense. Yeah, I just pointed it out there for those of you that don't know me. I'm a little chunkier than I was before, but anyways, I don't even know where I was going with this. Food. Anyways, food pretty much. But we would love it. We would get together, we would chit chat, we would socialize. It would take literally most of the day, and then Jeff and I would then bounce off to another family. We used to do like 3 family things in one Christmas Eve. And then that slowly changed to just doing just 1 or 2. And now it's 1. And this year we're not going anywhere. And we're kind of happy about it.
Yeah.
My aunt had an idea. So because we are all about the food, that we're providing a meal. We've all exchanged names. I have my cousin in Ralston and we're going to go ding dong ditch a Christmas dinner. And then we all have a Zoom set up for Sunday. And I'm pretty excited about that, because
I'm is just it like Secret Santa, but with food?
But with food, yeah. And we were, and it was so cute how my aunt had written the letter, because she, like me, likes to do accents. So she's like, say this one in a British accent. She's like, say this one in a German accent. Say this one. And it was, oh my gosh, you guys really need to, I should bring her on. My aunt is hilarious. I love her to death. And, but yeah, so she had this fantastic idea. And so now we're making meals. We're going to ding dong ditch them. And then we're going to all Zoom together. And we'll still have that, you know, group together. But it's kind of opened up
a new tradition.
A new tradition for like my own household, because I'm like, mm-hmm. we don't have to run anywhere. And
so you're literally going to run from house to house.
Well, just to one house, I should say. Just to one house. Oh. We will probably take something up to my grandma, because that's just what we do.
Ding dong ditch her.
No, we'll have to. I don't know how that. I don't know how that's going to work. So anywho's, but yeah, so it's
ding dong ditch.
Ding dong ditch. What did she say? I should have been that email. In Britain, they call it something else. I'll find it.
Okay.
No, I'm serious. Okay, you guys keep talking.
So this, and that, Lacey, that brings up a good point, because this year could be the year where you say, oh, Christmas is ruined because we can't do what we want to do. We can't do all the fun things that we've always done. Or this could be a year to say, this gives us an opportunity to look at Christmas differently. I love the parties. I love the food. I love presents. Stacy, I was told to give her ideas for Christmas presents for me, for all of her family. And 3 weeks ago, she said, all right, you're done. And for the last 3 weeks, I've said, oh, well, if someone needs one other idea, and I've just given her about 42 more ideas. So I love everything about Christmas, but those aren't the things that Christmas is about. Christmas is about Jesus and his coming to this earth. And sometimes that gets lost, especially mm-hmm. in all the running, especially in all the shopping, and it can get crazy. And as a church, often too, we're guilty, because that's when they're, you know, the 42 extra things that we want you to do at church, because we've got all this other stuff to do, because it's special and important, but it also sometimes gets overwhelming. And so is this a year where you can step back from the things that distract us from Jesus?
And I look at an angle of, and I'm speaking as someone who loves traditions. Like they tie me to things of the past and kind of, you know, both, you know, family traditions and things like that. They tie everything together. And it seems like most people, even if you're not big into traditions, everyone seems to have that for Christmas. But it never feels like we drop traditions. We just add more and more until it gets full and full. Like just look at the slate of Christmas movies. Like, we don't drop any from our must watch list. It just keeps growing. Or if you're into Christmas music, you don't drop Christmas albums. You just add more. And this is the first time in looking at a lot of those traditions where you look at that legitimately some of them cannot happen because whether it's the coup or government orders or anything.
It's catching on.
It is. Catching. Well, I hear it's highly contagious.
But it's caused me to reflect on, not the coup.
Sorry, that was just funny. Delayed reaction.
It's the canceling of some of, or not canceling, but not being able to do some of the traditions for the first time has helped me reflect on, is this really pointing me towards Jesus? Or is this like I got to make this feel like Christmas, or it's not really Christmas to me? And it's been a good reflection piece on what do I do in the Christmas season, and how much of it is actually pointing to Christ's mm-hmm. coming.
Do you, this is a serious question. I know I'm usually not serious, but and I'm going to say this, but without trying to sound stupid.
Okay.
But lately, I mean, I'm going to say over the last 10 years, I've been focusing so much on Christ that Christmas is not any more special than any other time. Is that weird? Am I weird?
No, because maybe that's how it should be.
I don't know if that's the way it should be. I'm just saying that it's like.
But then you should be excited because it's the birth.
Yeah, but I don't get excited for my own birthday. So
you don't?
No, I don't. You can ask Lori. That's the truth.
We have birthday week at my house, or at least I've tried to implement birthday week. It is not.
You have birthday week.
But I'm the only one that celebrates it, and it's not as fun. I'm just
saying that it's, I mean, and maybe it's because I'm getting older, but even then I just feel like that it's, nobody's talking about the Christmas spirit. It's not, it's just, I'm just like, I'm always constantly.
Well, what is Christmas spirit in that sense would be my question. Because if we're like looking back in my past, I've always loved Christmas and the lights of Christmas and whatnot. And Jesus has always been a part of that, but it's been a lot of the traditions and things surrounding it. And if that's where the focus focus is, then that's only going to be a month of the year. But when you recognize and you're intentional about being close to Jesus throughout the year, yeah, I think that makes sense. That it's not that Christmas isn't special, but it's not like this huge to do and you're putting all your energy in that 1 month.
And I don't know.
Is that how you're feeling? Like,
yeah, I'm just like, I feel like I'm getting down on this thing. Yeah.
And it particularly, a lot of the whole, you know, spirit of Christmas, feeling of Christmas, you see that a lot in the Christmas specials and things like that. Like, come on, do you really have Christmas in your heart? Well, a lot of that has very little to do with
when Christmas comes to town. Yeah. You
know? A lot of that has very little to do with Christ himself. And to me, something, what's amazing about the Christmas story itself is that God literally put on our skin and bones and became one of us. And
that's Halloween talk you're talking there.
That's what I was thinking.
Jesus became a person.
Skin and bones.
See, skin Halloween bones. Can be about, you can we make Halloween it. About Jesus too. Yay.
That's,
are you in the Halloween spirit?
We do know that Casey's a youth guy, right?
Yeah.
They would love that.
Yes.
Yeah, but now instead of silver bells, I have skin and bones.
There you go. See, we just ruined another Christmas song for you.
I'm just saying,
but it'll point you to Jesus.
I'm just saying, Pastor Dan a couple years ago rewrote an awesome version of Jingle Bells. Yes. We're rewriting Silver Bells
there
right
it is.
Here.
That's what's going through my can't get it to stop.
We actually played that last year, didn't we?
Yeah. Yeah.
We did the Jingle Bells one.
Yeah.
I'd never heard it before.
Do we need to get a recording of this?
In is the wearing flesh. Your skin.
All right. let's move on from
what
bells.
I was saying was it's incredibly relational, and unlike any other religion on this earth, God isn't relational in it. And this is the only time, this is the only religion, and it's where God literally relates to human beings by becoming one of them. And because that's relational, it's different for every single person who relates with it. So trying to say like someone doesn't, you know, if how you relate with that is truly personal to you. If Christmas doesn't feel any different, what I've told people before is that's okay. It's how you interact with Jesus coming to earth. And that's counter to everything that the commercials will tell you. But
I would say that I'm probably more like that every year too. And I feel like the Advent season is pointing, I mean, it's that wait that we've been talking about. And that wait for me is just that anticipation of Jesus coming again. So Christmas feels like it's not complete. I know it's complete in that Jesus came, but I'm anticipating, when are you going to come again, Lord? And I think I'm just more aware of that this Christmas celebration is good, but it's not the total story of why Jesus came.
Well, it's almost
it's not complete.
Yeah, it's almost one of those things that I listen to Christian music all year round. Mm-hmm. So when I listen to Christmas songs, mm-hmm. it's not any different. Except that it has some sleigh bells on it or something, you know. And I know that and like me personally, this is not anything that I torture my family with, but I'm always constantly looking for a better version of a Christmas song, because I mean, I know everybody's like, oh, I like the traditionals, but it's like, yeah, it's fine, but I want to find a unique version because I'm a musician. I want to hear a unique take on a song, a new style. And I'm just constantly going, oh, what's this one sound like? Oh, that sounds horrible. Let's go to the next one. And sometimes I torture the congregation with those songs because I'm like, you should listen to this version of this song because it's cool. Yeah. And they go, I like the traditional. I'm like, yeah, I know. But here, listen to this one anyways. But I don't know. I guess it's not, I want to be bah humbug about it, but I'm just like, ah, I used to be like, Christmas used to be like, the season used to be like, wow, Christmas season. Ah, I can't wait. You know, but it's just like, I just kind of, this is what I do all the time. So
yeah,
I don't know. I'm ruining every Christmas. I'm sorry, everybody listening. I don't mean to ruin Christmas.
Well, that's again,
you're ruining it.
No, you're just,
you know, the focus of Christmas is not,
it's not
all
drastically
of that.
Different than the focus of the rest of the year. It's Jesus, right? Because I do love, you know, every time we get, you know, somebody asks me, hey, what are we talking about on the podcast today? Or when I get asked, hey, what are you preaching about this week?
I don't know.
What's the answer?
Statement. Jesus.
And that's like, and I laugh and haha, but it's true. Like, yes. That's what are we going to, let's talk about Jesus because there's really nothing better to talk about. There's no one better to talk about.
Yeah.
But it does make me giggle and smile because I know in my head, this is what you're going to say. And
but
I know
you still ask.
I do, because I'm hoping there's going to be like, well, well, we're going to talk about this side of Jesus, but it's always just Jesus.
Well, I asked the same question because I'm like, what are you talking about today? Because I want specifics because I'm going to be picking songs that relate to your topic. And Jesus. And I'm like, well, that's every song.
I always get back to you when you're trying to pick songs for more specifics, but.
No, sometimes you say Jesus.
Okay, that's true. Sometimes I just say Jesus and leave it at that.
And then I'm like, oh, that's good. Usually I have to go to your reading and then I have to like incept what you're going to. Yeah. All right, he's going to talk about this.
Yeah.
I've always said it's like I can get pretty close with Gerber, but with Dan, I'm like, I have no idea. Who's going to go with this? Because every time I think I get it, he doesn't.
Oh. Somewhere
else. Dan's kind of a wild card, and that's what I like about it because I don't know.
I feel like the songs usually go. I mean, sometimes I feel like they go so well that Dan picks a sermon after he sees one of them first. And he's like, oh, I like that song. Yeah, that's a good subject. Oh, yeah, we should just go to Jesus.
I still remember a couple weeks ago, because I was back in the sound booth for this one, when right towards the end of the sermon, you jumped back there. We're changing the last song on the band.
Glorious Day, baby.
Yeah, because you were talking, and I was like, the song we have picked is not a good song for this. We need to change it. And I just ran back there, and I changed the slides and everything and ran back up, and you were like, I know you were like, what are you doing?
They're talking back there. I'm going into confession absolution, and Paul's not noodling on the guitar. What's happening?
And my wife was singing that day, and I was like, so when did you find out what song you were singing? As the slides came up before we started. She's like, but I like that song, so it worked.
Yeah.
Well, it's a song that everybody knew. I knew that. I would have never done something they never heard. But just so you know, for your wife, I'm like, it's like one of my goals to make sure that she's uncomfortable as possible.
Because then she doesn't think before singing.
Well, it's just because she
doesn't think she has talent in singing. Yeah. And she does.
She gets in her own head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
And I mean that lovingly, Tara, because I know you listen to this sometimes.
She'll hear it in a couple months.
But yeah, here's the thing. So, like, with Tara, music, I know music's not my joy and passion and love. It's yours, Paul. But for a lot of us, music is what kind of gets us there. Like, the debate on can you listen to music? Christmas music before Thanksgiving? Does it have to be after October 31st? When do you start listening to Christmas music? Whatever.
If it was Kohl's this year, it was October 20th.
Seriously? Oh, happy birthday to me. That's a great day.
It's after Thanksgiving.
It's after Thanksgiving.
It's July.
Actually, I think Miss Amy turned it on before that.
Yeah, see, but before that, on Thanksgiving Day, you have to listen to Adam Sandler's Turkey song.
I forgot all about that.
But here, I'm trying to transition into the Christmas special, Paul.
Oh,
sorry.
This Christmas Eve, because we know that there are a lot of those who aren't going to be in worship. We're streaming all of our services that we have in person, but we've been working hard to put together a Christmas fully virtual Christmas special, and I'm really excited about it. It'll be on Facebook at 7 p.m. on Christmas Eve. Worship with us. Whether it's in person Christmas Eve, whether it's online at the Christmas special, it's going to be a great week, great night to really focus you in on Jesus as we prepare to celebrate his birth.
Yeah. Well, I'm really hoping that this Christmas special is one, because I kind of envision it that people will go to service, you know, either at the 4 or 6 or plan to go on 11, but still at 7 as a family or something to sit around the TV, maybe have a fire going, or if you have, I don't know, put a little fire on your, put a candle up. I don't know.
Yeah.
And a Christmas tree, hot chocolate,
and just
cutery board. I'm going to get that sometime.
Well, I keep on telling
the larger the actual board.
So for like Tara, like having her sing, she's just like, I can't sing this song. I don't like singing it. And I'm like, just close your eyes and picture that this is a Christmas gift to the congregation. Mm-hmm. And she's like, well, that made me even more nervous.
that's when you tell her it's going to be for people, it gets worse.
But I mean, that's the way I envision this thing. It's kind of like, hey, this is Trinity's Christmas gift to you, congregation. And I hope it is good. I have control over one aspect of the video, and that's it. And even then, I don't even have control of that. It's just like, this is what we...
It's okay, Paul, to not have control all the time.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, I have control over the video, but I mean, Gerber and everyone, we're putting all these things together and all these pieces.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling that it's just going to be awesome.
I know it will be. Even though I had to put 45 videos in the digital trash can this last night because my mic wasn't working properly, but it just gave me the opportunity to kind of think how I was doing things and see if I want to make some changes, and we're going to move forward and it'll be okay. Yeah. It'll be good. It'll be great.
It'll all come
I'm excited.
Together.
I'm really excited.
It was, we did the taping of it on last Friday, and it was one of those moments that tied everything in an abnormal season. It made things feel a little normal.
Did
to
it
me.
Really?
Yeah.
To me,
it was I'm running around and directing everybody.
Oh, I enjoyed it completely.
I was really bummed at the end because it was snowing and no one wanted to go outside in the blowing snow and sing Silent Night.
Because they wouldn't really be singing.
Here's the thing, because I thought it was a great idea too, except that it was bitterly cold.
It was so cold. It was windy. It was snowing. And we would have had to tear down everything in the sanctuary, take it almost all outside, and it was not worth it, but it would have been, but it wasn't.
And it's a beautiful version of Silent Night, but the mix of it goes about five stanzas, so it would have been a very long time in the snow, lip syncing.
I was just behind the camera, so I was in nice sweatpants and sweatshirt.
And I'm
I would
the
have
lighting
been
guy, so I didn't even need
What's
to light
funny
that
is
one.
That I thought it was a good idea, and then I was like, we can't break everything down. We did the song, and then we're breaking everything down to put away, and I'm bringing it out to my van to put, and I'm like, I'm so glad we didn't do this.
So cold.
And of course, I had to apologize to Casey because I yelled at him. He's like talking. I'm like, hey, I want to go home tonight. Come on, let's go.
So
someone asked me a question.
Yeah, it took 20 minutes to answer.
So on that, on all of that, I pray that your Christmas is focused on Jesus. It is a celebration of that day, and that God would bless all of your time with family. That if you're able to be with family, and however that is, whether that's in person or virtually, but that God would bless your time as you celebrate His birth. Dear Jesus, we just thank you that you are here with us. We thank you that you came to this world as a baby to put on skin and bones, and that you're still with us today. And we look forward to that day when you will come again to make all things new. And so we wait this Advent season for Christmas, but we wait for that second coming, and we pray that you would come quickly, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for joining us this week. We pray that the Holy Spirit has used this time to focus you in on the one thing that you can practice this week as you live out your faith in your family and in your community. If you found this helpful, feel free to share it with a friend. If you would like to support the work that God is doing through Trinity Fremont, you can text a donation to 1-844-353-5782, or you can give online at www.trinityfremont.com/donate.